Some of the alignments. So tonight, God has spoken to us about 2025 as a year of plenty. It means everybody should start aligning themselves to say, how are we going to access this plenty? Number one. Number two, why? Why would God give us plenty? Is it for our personal gratification? Is it for our personal gains? Fame? Absolutely no. 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 There was a purpose God put them in Goshen. The reason God put them in Goshen was God had a purpose of creating a nation and that it would be called Israel. And God eventually, through this nation, Jesus will come out. The whole world is saved because of what happened in Goshen. So if God has to do something, there is a purpose, his glory to come out of all what he is about to do. So it is beyond just a name. It is beyond just a name to say, we are receiving plenty. This year, I'll be rich. No. It's beyond that. It's stewardship. If you see the core principle from the beginning of scripture, when God made Adam, the Bible says God created the first one, the garden. There was a garden of Eden. And when you read the scripture, the Bible says there was the best gold. God, not just God, the best gold in the whole world was found in that place. All diamonds were put in that place. And when God did that, God took Adam and put him in it. The Bible actually says for Adam to care. It was for stewardship. Are you here? The reason why God gave him resources, it was not for him to feel, wow, I'm big. No, it was for stewardship. And when he messed up, God simply drove him out. And it's exactly what happens until today. If God gives you resources and you begin to mess up, he will simply drive you out. So, before we go further, there are two ways why how people acquire wealth. There is a worldly way and then there's a godly way. Some of you already have wealth which you acquired through the worldly systems. It could be education, your personal business, inheritance, endowments, whatsoever could be. Now, you acquired those worth, or you acquired whatsoever you have. But trust you me, there is also a way that God can give you worth. So there is God giving people worth, and then there are people acquiring worth. The latter, it is not for purposes of self-gratification. It is for kingdom advancement. We find two people, the king of Sodom, and we find Abraham in Genesis 14. Both have got wealth, but different sources. And when the king of Edom wanted to give Abraham wealth, Abraham refused. He said, I don't want you to think you made me rich. In other words, he wants to bind. That is how I became rich. It's not you. You hear it? It's not you. It isn't you that made me rich. So the king says, Abraham says, I refuse to receive your wealth. Because it's not how you got rich, it's not how I got rich. So what was the process of Abraham's worth? What was the source? In Genesis 17 from verse 1 to 8, we find out that there was a way by which God had made for Abraham to be rich, and which is what I'll be sharing with you tonight. Aligning yourself with wealth covenant. God has put up a covenant of worth. And you must align yourself with this covenant. The first way of becoming rich and worth is through conventional ways. You can become rich through hard work, through whatsoever it is. But trust you me, if you have tried these ways and you have failed, it means God has put you in a category of Abraham, where God cannot just start a story from the middle of a conversation. There was a story. If you read Genesis 12, it just starts, God said to Abraham, leave your father and your mom to a place I'll show you. There I'll make you rich. It tells you Abraham was making a prayer. Come on, I'm talking to somebody right here. Yes. God cannot just come and say, no, what you are saying, this is what I'm going to do it. No, the statement doesn't make sense. This is where when you read the Torah, that's where the whole story of Abraham is written. In the Bible, there are a lot of stories of Abraham which were not put in the Bible. But the Torah or the Jewish Bible, there is a story that Abraham, in fact, was worshiping Yahweh, God. And his father was an idol worshiper. In fact, Joshua confirmed this when they were about to enter Canaan. He said, your great-grandfathers, and he mentions the father of Abraham, used to worship idols. This other side. He said it. He said, choose today who will you worship. I and my family shall worship the true God. So the father of Abraham was an idol worshiper. When you read in the Jewish Bible, you find out that Abraham was taken and was put in the fire because he refused to enter in the temple of a false god known as Baal. His own biological father took him and threw him in the fire and he never bent. He was the most hated, and the only man who stood by him was called Lot, his cousin. And no wonder Abraham took him to say, let's go together. So Abraham had prayed different type of prayers. He had worked hard to earn a living. And nothing happened. Until God said, leave to a place I'll show you. There, I'll make you great. And I'll turn you into a great nation. Are you there? Yes. But that word will not just be done. It has to be covenanted. There must be a covenant. However, for the covenant to be made, there must be two sides agreeing. Because covenants are bilateral in nature. They involve two sides. There must be two sides. And sometimes they can even become multilateral, where three or four parties must be involved. So in Genesis 17 from verse 1, let's just go in the scripture. The Bible says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I want you to hear that. Walk before me and be blameless. In verse 2, the scripture says, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Multiplication is coming out of a covenant. Yes, sir. I will make a covenant between me and you. How? I will multiply you. How will you multiply me? Exceedingly. In the New Living Translation, on that same scripture, it says, I'll make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. In verse 3, it says, at this, Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abram, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. In New Living Translation, on that one, I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you. I will give you the entire land. You are living in this land as a foreigner. I will give you the entire land to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever. I will be their God. In verse 9, let me just read verse 9 a little bit. Then God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. You didn't hear that part. To obey what? The terms of the covenant. Every covenant has got terms. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. So there was a what? A covenant of fruitfulness, of taking over the land. 400 years later, when Abraham was dead, God came down to Moses. I have remembered my covenant, which I made with Abraham. I have therefore come down to deliver you. Go and take my people out of Egypt. Because God remembers covenants. In 2025, you must align yourself with God's given covenant of worth and plenty. But you must align yourself with the terms and the conditions. I'll hear somebody. Now let's go ahead with the scripture. Now I want us to see something. If we go back into the book of Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, what does God say? The Lord says,
and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day.
Now, that's 400 years later. God says, remember, it is God who gives you what? Power to become wealthy, to become rich. Why? That he may establish his covenant. The word established in other versions, it says that he may fulfill. In the New Living Translation, it says, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. Trust you me, you can get salvation through the covenant that Jesus Christ made on the cross. You will be saved by that covenant. But worth is not salvation. Worth will still involve two parties. This is why in the New Testament, James still writes, you ask and you don't have. Because you ask to spend the things you want to receive for your own reasons. Because the covenant still stands. There must be right purposes why you want to spend those things. There must be a covenant. If you give me this, I will do this. So Abraham gets a covenant. God gives him a covenant. Years later, God comes down, I'll give you resources so that I may fulfill my covenant. Somebody say, I'm here, prophet. Now, if God made this covenant for the people, and then the Bible in the book of Galatians, let's just go to the book of Galatians. I want to show you a very important aspect here that is very, very important. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, from verse 13 to 14,
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles, in Christ Jesus.
Jesus. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. Can you imagine that Jesus Christ, he didn't just die for our sins. The Bible says the purpose, the other purpose that he died on the cross was that that covenant that God made with Abraham must not only work and become effective only on the Israelites, but that that blessing may also come on us. Anyone watching me right now, I want you to hear me very well. Money respects covenants. Worth respects covenants. This is why people in the dark world, they understand covenants than the people in the church. We have a covenant that the whole Jesus went on the cross and died so that the covenant that God made with Abraham can come upon us. And yet we don't honor the covenants. Tonight I invoke the covenant of God to start working over your finances.
Yes.
Over your resources.
I receive.
Say with me, I am of a covenant.
I am of a covenant.
But the first thing that you need to understand, this covenant, there is a purpose why God will give you resources. In the book, let's go to the book of like Zechariah 8:13, and we read the New Living Translation. There is a purpose.
Among the other nations, Judah and Israel became symbols of a cursed nation. But no longer. Now I will rescue you and make you both a symbol and a source of blessing. So don't be afraid. Be strong and get on with rebuilding the temple.
Did you hear that? Now, God says, I will restore you. There were curses in your life, but I'm going to remove them and I'll put a blessing. And you shall become what? A symbol and a source of a blessing. Then he says, go on and build a temple. So there is a purpose. God is seeing a temple that has to be built. Then he says, I will release a blessing upon you. And you will become a symbol and a source. That if we want to build a church, you will be the one doing it. If we want to go and put evangelisms in stadiums, it will be you saying, I'm sponsoring it. Raise your hand and say, I'll become a symbol and a source of a blessing.
I will become a symbol and a source of a blessing.
Have you seen people who says, I think there are cases in my life. I want them to go. Do you know how God removes cases? He does not just break them. God removes a case by giving you a blessing. Amen. But it's what we shared on Friday. God said to Abraham, I will bless you so that you can become what?
A blessing.
So in his covenant, it's bilateral. You have to be involved. God has to be involved. This is why in Deuteronomy 8, God speaks. He says, remember, it is I. So the covenant here starts working when you start remembering that it is me, all what I'm getting, all these deals I'm closing, all these ventures I'm achieving, all these jobs I'm getting, whatsoever profits I'm, it is God who's giving me. So number one, the covenant starts operating when you start remembering. So in Deuteronomy 8:18, it starts saying, remember, it is I who gives you power to obtain wealth. So when you start remembering, there are things that will begin to come on your way. And if you understand this, get this right. There are things, opportunities, doors, where with other people in the conventional world, they say, it's my connections. that got me this project. It is my CV that got me this job. It is how smart I am that made me get this promotion. Well, God says with you, if you want me to establish my covenant, change that thinking. Begin to say, it is the Lord. Maybe you didn't get this properly. Let me show you where the story is coming from. Go back to Deuteronomy 8. Now we're going to start reading from verse 16. And I want you to hear what God is saying. All right? He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. He says, I don't want you to think it is your strength. I humbled you. And most of you here, you are not aware why God is humbling you. He says, I gave you food which you're not supposed to be eating. You suffered and struggled so that when I bless you, you shouldn't say it is your energy and your ability that is giving you wealth. You should remember it is God. When you look where you are coming from, if you look how you have suffered, you should say, indeed, this is the hand of God. So the whole purpose of suffering, the reason of struggling, God is removing humanism. God is removing pride. God is taking out the mentality of thinking it is me. It is my connections. Yet we still have people in church until today who are in church who still think it's their connections. There are people in church until today who still think it's their CV. There are people in church until today who think it's because they worked so hard. That's how they obtained what they obtained. And God says, as long as you still think like that, I will not open it for you. Because the covenant is bilateral. There must be two. You need to understand this. As long as you remember it is me who gives you ability, then what God does, he opens a small door for you. And when that door happens, you don't even say, thank you, God. It's all about, oh, you know what? I'm very smart these days. But when you begin to understand, because it's all about kingdom mindset, when you understand how God, why? I want somebody tonight to enter in a covenant with God on wealth and resources. Who's that person? This is a very serious statement I just spoke right now. It requires laser discernment. Very sharp discernment. How many tonight wants to enter in a covenant with God on wealth and resources? Now hear this. God will do this by making you a symbol of a blessing. Imagine God making you a symbol and a source. Do you know the meaning of a symbol? A symbol means a sign. Now imagine when people, they are talking of a blessing, they must be using you as a symbol. So if you want to understand the meaning of a blessed woman, look at that woman. If you want to find the definition of a blessing, look at that man. You become a symbol. Yes, sir. But then it is not just saying a symbol, but also a source. Meaning if other people must be blessed, you will be the one blessing. So there's a responsibility. There is a calling. Remember, and God said, this shall be your responsibility forever. Now, God went to Abraham and he said, you shall remember this covenant and you shall keep the terms, and this shall be the responsibility forever. What were the terms? That you shall become what? A blessing to others. So if you want God to bless you, why do you want him to bless you? Is it for your personal reasons? It will not happen. So if we need this to happen, we need to make a covenant with God. We need to tell God, bless me, I am here and I want to do this for you. There was no reason why Cyrus in Isaiah 45 became rich for nothing. It was so clear. God said to Cyrus, I will bless you. I'll give you finances. Even the gates, I'll open them for you so that you can become a blessing to my house, Jacob, and that you may build my temple. There was a purpose for Solomon to have wealth. It wasn't just for him to have a lavish lifestyle. No, God had a purpose, and his purpose was to build a temple. If you want God to bless you in this season and to establish his covenant, so that if you start a company, it must operate on a covenant with God. I heard a preacher who said, no, you don't need a covenant with God in the New Testament. Wow, I respect his views. But it's not good to say what other preachers are preaching is wrong. It is not right. Because the scripture, when you read your Bible, on the topics, it says what? The gospel according to Matthew. The gospel according to Luke. Meaning to say, it may not be the same with how Luke wrote it. But this is according to Mark. According to how Luke understands it. That's what it says there. The gospel according to. So what I'm preaching is the gospel according to Major One. You also may have the gospel according to you. And according to your church. I'm talking to somebody, right? This is the gospel according to me. The covenant on wealth. Trust you me. Are you here?
Yes.
So the Bible says, remember, it is I who gives you ability. Someone say ability.
Ability.
In this year, I spoke to you on Friday. There is a need for some of you who you have no companies, go and register companies. There's a need for us to begin to work hard. But we will not just be working hard as we're working hard the other years. We will be working on a covenant. We'll be operating on a covenant. We'll be knowing what I'm doing here has got a covenant with God. May God help you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Any demonic covenant in your family will be broken. Those demons that made a vow, an oath, that you will never become rich, that demonic covenant is being broken.
Amen.
There is an establishment of a divine covenant.
Yes.
Which Christ died on the cross so that the blessing on Abraham can be established on you, the Gentiles. I pray for this covenant to start working for you. I activate it in the name of Jesus. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
It is like healing. So somebody said, no, we are already under the covenant of Abraham. You know, when we are saved, we are already under the covenant of Abraham. Why don't you say the same on the sick? If you are sick, you can't just say, I'm already under the covenant of healing, I'm healed. No, the Bible says, if anyone of you is sick, let him call for elders to pray that he may be healed. It's similar to the covenant. Let elders come lay hands on you so that the covenant can start working. If a prayer of somebody can heal you, a prayer of somebody can make the covenant start working. Are you here, right?
Yes.
So it's very important that we pray. Covenants. Covenants. Man of Brehidigi. Rakia Fahanda Rabah. Jakara Ante Fehia. La suva anta kapaya. Are you here, somebody? So if you have a covenant with a God, am I talking to somebody right here? They can fire you from work and become jobless. That's the moment you need a covenant to work for you. So that he may establish his covenant, which he made with your fathers. Remember, it is I who gives you power, ability. So covenants, number one, they work firstly with remembering whatever you are doing, that it is God who's giving you those opportunities. Number two, they work when you begin to understand that the abilities you are having, opportunities you are having, it is God giving you. It is I who gives you what? Ability. Ability. Ability could come with what? Opportunities. Ideas. The ideas you are having right now. I want to do this. I want to do this. He says, it is I who's giving you those ideas. When you begin to remember, these ideas is God giving me. When you remember what I have, it's God giving me. You have already entered in the covenant with God. Are you here, somebody?
Yes.
So, number one, it is when you begin to understand the worth, resources, they're coming from God. Two, the abilities, ideas, plans, strategies. Are you here? Goals, smart goals, whatsoever. Again, when you begin to understand that all these, it is the Lord who's giving me ability, then you will know. If you go to Israel today, the whole desert, it's no longer a desert. There are farms. God establishing his what? Covenant. He made a covenant. He said, I will turn the desert. He said, I will change it. I will turn into rivers. The artificial rivers now, the whole desert in Israel. And the Bible says, and water shall spring forth. If you go to Israel now, in all those deserts, there are sprinklers, watering crops. And in your country, you are buying from Israel. The best banana comes from Israel. Big shops, best fruits are coming from Israel. Through you shall all nations be blessed. It will happen with you.
I receive.
I said it will happen with you.
I receive.
I said it will happen with you.
I receive.
Me, when I saw those covenants, I said, God, I am part of the covenant.
Amen.
And I'm glad to tell you that in my country, anytime there is hunger, we feed our country. The whole country, the whole nation, whenever there is hunger, we say, where is hunger? We feed the nation. Because the Bible says, through you, families of the earth shall be blessed. I pray tonight, any person wherever you're watching me from, you will operate on a divine covenant of God and not on any demonic covenant of delays, of stagnation, covenants of failure. They'll be broken tonight.
Yes.
If you're praying for a job will come. Because you begin to understand that he gives me ability. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive divine wisdom.
Divine wisdom.
To operate on the covenant of God.
On the covenant of God.
In 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9.
For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him.
Hey. And somebody is fighting with you. And someone is fighting. Yet God is, the Bible says, his eyes run to and fro. The whole earth. To show himself strong and mighty on behalf of those who are loyal to him. Did you hear that? The eyes of the Lord runs
to and fro throughout the whole earth.
Throughout.
To show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars.
Now, important. If God has a covenant with you that he will show up to defend you, if you do a foolish thing, he says, I will leave you to have wars. But that's not what our topic. Our issue is the eyes of the Lord are very busy moving up and down. So if there's a covenant with you, he will make sure that he shows himself strong. But that's not the most important part. I want us to check on David. I want you to see something here that is very, very important. In 2 Samuel 9, verse 1 to 3.
Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, at your service. Then the king said, is there still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet.
Just go ahead.
So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Micah, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Micah, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually.
Wait a minute. I want you to see something here that is very important. In verse 3 and the verse 7, they are collaborating. In verse 3, he says, is there anyone from Saul's house that is left? I want to show kindness for the sake of what? Jonathan. Because David had made a covenant with Jonathan. Even if Jonathan was dead, but the covenant was what?
Still there.
Was still effective. So I want this covenant to be done. And what was the covenant? That I may show him God's what? Kindness. And what was God's kindness? In verse 7, we see the kindness of God. What is it? So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan's, your father's sake, and I will restore. Restoration is God's kindness. All the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. The man was lame, paralyzed, but the man moved from a village to the state house. In 2025,
yes.
Stick to the covenant of God.
Yes.
God will take you from nowhere and put you in houses of power,
yes.
In corridors of power.
Oh, yes.
God will restore you.
Oh, yes.
God will show you kindness.
Oh, yes.
When a covenant is invoked,
yes.
Things will begin to happen. Opportunities you never thought that can happen will begin to happen. I pray for everybody that has got the faith and believe,
yes.
That this is a message for them,
yes.
That you receive in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
As I speak right now, there is a woman somewhere who is forgotten. There is a man somewhere who thinks they're actually forgotten. But in 2025, plenty is coming.
Yes.
Tonight I've come here as David.
Yes.
And I've come here to invoke the kindness of God.
Yes.
The kindness of God. For Christ's sake, may you receive his kindness.
Receive.
And whatsoever covenant God made with you, may that covenant be established.
I receive.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody say he is a covenant keeping God.
He is a covenant keeping God.
Not only does he keep the covenant, but he also establishes it. Now, we have people who pray for breakthroughs, for resources. Father, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, open the door. Open the door. Open the door. Open the door. I once told you this. Money listens to covenants. Money only listens to what?
Covenants.
This is why if you deposit money in a company, they will need two signatures. Even if there is only yours, you sign like this, you go to the bank, they will refuse it. They say, where is the other one? Because money responds to what?
Covenants.
Sometimes it even goes far as fingerprints. Oh, am I talking to somebody?
Yes, sir.
And yet so many people in the church, they are so ignorant that they do not know how the kingdom of heaven operates. We are not yoked to the patterns of this world. In the season, God will give people strategies. Are you here?
Yes.
Strategies. Deep strategies that we have never seen. Ideas. Let's check Leviticus 26, verse 9. All right. We'll read and also Message translation.
For I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you and confirm my covenant with you.
I love this verse, eh? I love this. I want us to read together. Come on, let's go and read it. 1, 2, 3, go read.
For I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you.
So multiplication, the favor, and the fruitfulness will come as a confirmation of what? Of the covenant. You know, when we teach such type of things of Jesus, angels, people don't take it serious. But if I'm teaching about demonic covenants, how to break them, everybody wants to know how to break it. Like, how does it look like? Like, hey, the demonic covenants, 5 covenants of the devil against your worth. Ah, Papa, I need deliverance. But when we're teaching you things like this, if as I say, let's talk about the behemoth. The demonic spirit that has got eyes everywhere. Some of it is inside you right now. Papa, how can I be delivered? I want deliverance. Right? Right now. I come and I tell you about angels. Just, yeah, amen. Amen. What I'm teaching you right now, is a key.
Yes,
it's a code. If there's a nation that people are very serious on covenants, it's Jews. Tonight I came here to release this covenant.
Yes.
May you become a partaker of a covenant.
I receive.
See that scripture? It says what? In the message now. What does it say?
I'll give you my full attention.
Imagine.
Yeah. I'll make sure you prosper.
Imagine.
Make sure you grow in numbers.
Imagine.
And keep my covenant with you in good working order.
If I were you right now, I would know that it is done.
It is done.
Somebody say bye-bye poverty.
Bye-bye poverty.
Yes, sir.
God wants bless you so that you can become what? A blessing. It's not for self. It's not for people should look at me and say, wow, he is rich. No. It is not for, no. You are just a steward. God will bless you so that you can just become what?
A blessing.
You can be the source. When God wants to do something, you'll be the one handling it. We read this on Friday in Matthew 25, where God trusted someone with how many bags of gold? The Bible says he trusted someone with 5 bags of gold. Another one?
2
bags. And another one? 1. And others? Nothing. Imagine, the Bible says God trusted. There was a word, trust, in Matthew 25 from verse 14. God trusted. Says the kingdom of God is like a man who trusted. I was thinking about it to say, in this year, people be trusted, eh? People be trusted with resources. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
God will trust you with what? Resources. God will trust you with resources. Imagine up in the morning one time, you see yourself on the mirror, you see the wealth God gives you, the millionaire status that God will trust you with. It's not for fancy, for you to use it to abuse other people. God wants you to use it for his kingdom. Raise your hands. I invoke the covenant.
I invoke the covenant.
I will walk on a covenant.
I will walk on the covenant.
Now, the problem with such type of things, let me tell you something. People think being spiritual is when you pray like, sha-ra-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Ooh, God, you're moving here. Ooh, they think that's being spiritual. No. Being spiritual is when you know these things. When you remember these things. When you walk in these things. Am I talking to somebody? Being spiritual, it is not when you are rotating under the power. Being spiritual, it's not when you talk, when you act like spiritual. No. This teaching I'm teaching today, just next month, most of you, you will forget about it. And you'll be through struggling, canceling covenants of darkness. And you'll be thinking there is your uncle somewhere who's holding your breakthrough. Why should you be walking a covenant? Walk in a covenant. Being spiritual is when you understand spiritual principles. I'm a man of a mandate. God has given me something to achieve. And I walk in the covenant. Say after me, I'm a woman of mandate if you're a woman. If you're a man, say, I'm a man of my mandate. There's
a
place I'm going.
I
can never be distracted.
I can never be
confused.
I can never be destroyed.
I can never be destroyed. It's what's going to happen. Just a few minutes, you'll forget about it. In this year, we'll align ourselves with the covenant of God. Trust him, even if you want to bring me down, it will never work. And has never worked. It has never, because we operate on a divine covenant. You trust you me, gather together, speak and scheme, bring your ideas together, and conclude this time around. Major one who's going to go down. It is you who fall. And has always been like that. Why? Because we operate on a divine what? Covenant. And the same with you. Anyone accusing you, anyone fighting you at your workplace, whether in your anybody fighting you, they will never see your downfall.
Amen.
But on one condition, if you remember, it is the Lord. If you forget the covenant, trust you me, they will finish you up. You'll be proclaiming in the name of Jesus, it will not happen. Boom, you are down. You'll be confessing like that when you're on the floor. Like, it will never happen. You're already down. Am I talking to somebody here?
Yes.
When they shall say there is a casting down, he has fallen. The Bible says, you shall say this lifting up. There are people who are rejoicing. They think you are finished. Raise your hand and say, I'm a woman of a covenant. I'm a man of a covenant.
I'm a man of a covenant.